Hallelujah. Oh, it's fun to be in the house of God. It's a little more difficult to fill up this room than the old building's room, but that's all right. We got the Holy Spirit's in here. He fills every seat. Everybody's happy. Everybody's ready for something. I don't even know what. Glory to God. Well, okay, so Pastor Jim Willoughby, Dr. Jim Willoughby, Brother Jim Willoughby, he's from California, pastors Faith Life Center, big church, good church, been doing that for like 39 years. He was 6 years old when he started, like the Old Testament kings. He's been part of ICFM for almost as long. He's been the president of ICFM. He's still a trustee with ICFM, the vice president. So I've been serving on the board with him for a number of years, and we became good friends. He's a real smart guy, and he's full of the Holy Ghost. And when we go to our ICFM meetings, we know that Brother Jim's night to preach is going to have some Holy Ghost glory in it. And so we don't take that for granted. We recognize the gift of God. And you're a real delight to me. And so I get to sit next to him at meetings. And I just love sitting next to him. He's just full of God. Okay. And so we love people like that. And we like people that aren't like that too. But we really love people that are like that. And so we pick on each other and have fun together in the Lord. And that's what it's all about. So if you would please stand. Let's give Pastor Jim Willoughby some big love. And I don't know if Stormy's coming up with you, but give her some love too.
All right. Praise God. Hey, you can be seated. My gorgeous wife right down here on the front row, Stormy, is there. She is. She's amazing. We are both preacher's kids. We grew up with the deacon's kids. It's amazing that we're still in church. But hey, it is, man, look, I love the new logo. How many likes the new logo? Isn't that awesome? Hey, man, I thought I was wearing a pair of Nikes when I came in and saw it or something. I mean, it's got the swoosh going on at Houston Faith, man. Amen. And man, look around. Isn't this place amazing? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, and due to the current pandemic, we have a disclaimer for tonight's service. And I've okayed it with the CDC. That's the Church Development Center. The Houston Faith Church has been sanitized. Our leaders have been sanctified. We don't have to be terrified because our Savior was crucified. And tonight His name will be magnified. Our Father will be glorified. His church is going to be edified. We will leave here unified, and our adversary will be pulverized. Let's give him a shout tonight. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. So, man, we're going to have church tonight. When I grew up, it was church. We're going to have church. We just didn't put as many syllables in there or something or another. So, but man, what an exciting evening at Houston Faith Church. What an exciting week here with your pastors. And what an honor it is for me to be able to stand in this pulpit in this new building that I've heard about. And it is just exciting to see it come into a reality. I know that this represents a culmination of years of praying and planning and sowing and believing, and here we are setting in the fruit of all of that labor. Let's give God one more hand clap tonight. Can we do that? Amen. Yes. It may be a short distance from the old location, but listen, this is a giant leap for mankind. So tonight, man, we're expecting great things. I want to talk to you tonight about a word called capacity. Capacity. Look at your neighbor tonight and tell them, say, capacity.
Capacity.
Capacity. That's cool. We're going to talk about capacity tonight. And so I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12 with me this evening. And the capacity of this new building is different from the capacity of the old building. Are we correct there? There's more toilets in this building. Thank God. I hope you put them in the ladies' restroom, Pastor Chaz. Hallelujah. There's more children's space in this building. There's space for youth in this building. There's more parking spaces on this land. Somebody said amen to that. Hallelujah. So the capacity of this new building is greater than the capacity of the old building. And so I want to talk with you about increasing your capacity. You see, we were created in the image of God. Each one of us in this room tonight, we were created in the image of God. In fact, in one place, David said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Created in the image and the likeness of God, and God created all of us with a certain capacity. So, you should have found Romans chapter 12 by now. If you're not sure where it's at, it's right after Romans chapter 11. We're going to look at verse number 3, and it says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, to all of you at Houston Faith Church, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one," what? Come on, say it out loud. A. Say it again. A. One more time. A. A measure of faith. The Apostle Paul writing here, and he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Now, he doesn't say you shouldn't think highly of yourself, because you should think highly of yourself because you're created in the image of God, and God doesn't make mistakes. And God doesn't create junk. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so he says, don't think of yourself more highly. Think of yourself not from an ego or a pride perspective. Rather, think from a perspective of the grace of God that you've been given. Think from a perspective of the measure of faith that God has given to you. Think of it from the standpoint of who you are in Him. Amen. Is that if you look at that word measure, the word measure comes from the Greek word metron, M-E-T-R-O-N. It means a measure, or also this definition, a limited capacity. a limited capacity. Now, I brought along with me three cups. They're all cups, correct? Would you agree with me? This is a cup. They're all three cups. But there is something different about these three cups, isn't there? They're all three cups. They're all capable of holding something, but yet there's something different. They all come from the same establishment, but there is something different. What is different about these three cups? The capacity. Exactly. The capacity. Capacity is the ability of holding or containing something. Now, you have to decide, do I want a small, do I want a medium, or do I want a large? Can somebody say, supersize me? Do you want a small, do you want the medium, or do you want the large? They all have a capacity. Cups from the same establishment, but yet something is different. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Man, I love that. Look at the person next to you and say, God has plans for your life. God has plans for your life. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. To do what? To increase your capacity. To increase your capacity. God says, I have plans for you. I know the plans. Plans to prosper you, expand you, increase your capacity. But at the same time, your adversary says, I've got a plan for you. And that is to decrease you, to depress you, and ultimately to destroy you. That's his mode of operation, amen? But God says, I have a plan to prosper, to expand, to increase your capacity. But now you've got to decide whose plan are you going to participate in. You have to decide, am I going to prosper, expand, and increase, or am I going to decrease, depress, and destroy? Whose plans are you going to participate in? Amen? You see, God has a plan for your life. The adversary has a plan for your life. I remember 6 years ago, just over 6 years ago, I had went in for a routine physical examination, and as I would do every other year, and I went in. Next thing I know, I'm lying on a table in a cardiologist's office, and I hear him say this, worse than I thought. Those are not the words you want to hear your doctor say. And then he looks at me, he says, I'm sending you to the hospital. I go, Doc, I feel great. I feel fine. No issues. He said, I'm sending you to the hospital. The next morning after undergoing a test, he comes in. He informs my wife, and our pastor says, we don't know what happened. We don't know why. We don't know what's going on, but his heart's operating at 25%, and you need to be prepared because it could stop at any moment. I had to decide whose plan am I going to participate in. Are you following me tonight? See, because immediately they wanted to do this and that, and we're going to rush you to the cardioelectrophysiologist, and we're going to do this, and we're going to implant that, and we're going to do something else. I'm like, whoa! Time out for a moment here, folks. Are you hearing me? See, sometimes you got to put the brakes on and you got to go, wait just a moment. I didn't subscribe to this plan. Come on, I didn't subscribe to this plan. This is not what I signed up for. We need to have a talk. Are you listening to me, Houston Faith Church? See, because sometimes something will hit your life that you're not expecting. Sometimes life will throw you a curveball when you were not expecting it. Sometimes something will show up on your doorstep and Amazon Prime didn't deliver it. I know you're thinking, oh, they deliver everything. You've got to say, wait a minute, time out. I didn't subscribe to this plan. And so I said, hey, doc, whoa, time out. What do I got to do to get out of the hospital? Just whatever I got to do to get out of this hospital, just I want out of here. And so he said, okay, well, he said, if I can get you a life vest to wear, then I'll let you out of the hospital. I said, whatever a life vest is, I used to wear one in the pool. I'm sure it's not the same. But get me one of those rascals because I'm getting out of here. And we went to the Word and we went to prayer. And the short story is 3 months later, I get a phone call and the cardiologist says, I don't know what you did or what you're doing, but your heart is back to normal. Keep doing whatever it was. Come on, see, you got to decide, am I going to go along with the plan to depress and destroy and decrease, or am I going to go along with the plan to prosper and expand and increase? Amen. Because it's not up to me, and it's not up to Pastor Chaz, and it's not up to Pastor Joni. It's up to you what you decide you're going to get from God. Because God's made it available. But we have to choose. Amen. We have to decide, I'm not going to participate. See, because I had to say, whoa, hey, devil, not today. Come on. See, sometimes you got to put your foot down and you got to say, hey, listen to me, Mr. Devil. We're not going down that road. We're not going down that boulevard. I'm sorry, I've been down that street before, and I don't like where it goes. Nope, not today. We're not going there. Get out of my house. Get out of my kids' life. Get out of my bank account. Get out of my health. Get out of here now. No, not today. Somebody say, not today. You were created in the image of God. You were created with a measure of faith. See, I believe what Paul is talking about there is God put within every one of us the amount of faith that we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it takes faith to get saved. Romans 10 says you've got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So whatever that amount of faith is, it's required to believe in your heart that He is the Son of God and died and rose again. God has given you that capacity of faith. But now listen, you can increase in your life. And what I've learned is increase can come naturally and it can come supernaturally. Are you following me? In life, I'm talking in general, you can increase naturally. There's ways that you can increase different areas of your life, and there's ways that you can increase supernaturally. You know, I mean, if I stayed in Houston and went and ate lunch with Pastor Chaz every day, I could increase. And we will leave that one right there. Something about Texas food, man. I mean, and I tell you, we thought we died and went to heaven, man, because restaurants still aren't open in California. Then again, not much is open in California, but so you can increase in the natural, you can increase supernaturally. And let me kind of show you what I'm talking about here. Is that I grew up, my father was in the automobile business. I grew up around cars, I loved cars. I would be what people would call a gearhead. I loved working on cars. I'd take stuff apart, put stuff back together. Didn't always run when I got through with it, but hey, who cares? I took it apart, I put it back together, right? Anybody like that in here? All right, man, we got two honest people in the house. Come on. And so, but I always like taking things apart, figuring out how it worked, putting it back together. And, you know, especially if it was something to do with an automobile. And so I would watch people that worked in my dad's shop, and I would ask questions. And as I became a teenager and I started driving, I'd start working on my own car, and finally got to where I could take things apart, put it back together, rebuild things. And then I started racing cars and started building motors and started doing all of this stuff. And so that's something I learned a lot of times just simply by trial and error. That's a natural way you can learn things. But then you can learn supernaturally. Because God said if you lack wisdom, ask Him. And He's the ultimate source of all wisdom. I remember when we were building our very first church building, and I was overseeing the construction of it. And I didn't have much construction. I mean, I knew what a 2x4 was, and I knew what a skill saw was. All right? But I was overseeing construction, and I needed to know how to read a set of blueprints. And one day, a subcontractor was doing something, and I didn't have a clue what was going on. Man, Pastor Chaz, I was lost. And I remember I walked out back, and I just began to pray. And I said, God, you said if I lacked anything, I could ask you and you would give it to me. God, you know everything. So God, teach me how to read a set of blueprints. And I turned around, walked back into that building, rolled out the blueprints on a table, started looking at them. And all of a sudden, like that, is that I understood what the symbol stood for. I understood, I could read the schematics. I could understand the electrical plans, the plumbing plans. I knew what drain, waste, and vent, fall. I knew all of this. All of a sudden, it just came to me, and I could read a set of blueprints. That wasn't natural knowledge. See, that if you need something, you can go to God. And God, I need an increase in the capacity of this right now. And I believe, God, you hold all wisdom. So God, give to me that supernatural influence, input, that capacity in my life. That's the kind of God we serve. Amen. Listen, folks, hey, when it comes to us dealing with the world, we've got an unfair advantage. Our Heavenly Father knows everything. Come on. Hey, every day we've got insider knowledge. Some of you will get that one on the way home tonight. Your Father knows tomorrow before tomorrow ever gets here. Amen. I mean, stop and think about it. Did it ever dawn on you that nothing dawns on God? He even knew about coronavirus. Amen? You know, a friend of mine yesterday, I see him, he said, can you believe that Cinco de Mayo would fall on Taco Tuesday and get messed up by a virus named Corona? Only in America. Come on. Say capacity. Capacity. Here is three cups. Three cups, all from the same establishment. The only difference is capacity. Capacity. But here's the interesting thing that I want you to pay attention of. Is that at Mickey D's, all of these are the same price. You can pay a dollar for this one. You can pay a dollar for this one. Or you can pay a dollar for this one. So which one are you going to go home with? I feel like Vanna White tonight. Door number one, door number two, or the same price, but more capacity. You see, when it comes to God, here's what I want you to get. The price of a big dream is no different than the price of a little dream. Let me say that again. The price of a big dream is no different than the price of a small dream. See, you decide the capacity. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You decide, hey, if the price of the big dream is the same as a small dream, I might as well dream the big dream. I might as well go for the big box. I might as well go for the large cup. Why go for the small cup if the big cup is the same price? The price of a big dream is the same as a small dream. And tonight we are setting in the midst of a dream. Are you hearing me? Before there was ever a shovel of dirt that was turned on this piece of property, there was a dream in your pastor's hearts. Pastor Chaz and Pastor Joni had a dream. I remember driving around this property with Pastor Chaz several years ago, talking about how the dream that was in his heart and believing God for this piece of property, and tonight we are setting in that dream. Glory. Somebody ought to, come on, about 10 seconds of some crazy praise in Houston Faith Church tonight for the dream. For the dream. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Amen. And listen, I can tell you, I'm glad, Pastor Chaz, you didn't settle for a one-bedroom, one-bathroom dream. Come on, somebody. Listen, if you're living in a one-bedroom, one-bath place, that's cool, no problem. But just don't settle for that for the rest of your life. Amen. Have a bigger dream for your life, for your family, for your career, for your business, for whatever it is, because the price of a big dream is no different than the price of a small dream. Amen. You see, something I've learned and I've determined after some 46 years now of a full-time ministry, that there are a lot of people sitting in churches every Sunday who started off with a big dream, but when it didn't happen in their time frame or according to their plan, I think I need to go over here and talk to this side tonight. I said there's a lot of people sitting in church started off with a big dream, but when it didn't happen according to their plan, and hi. When it didn't happen according to their timetable, you notice how this side got a louder amen all of a sudden? Come on. So many people sitting in churches every Sunday. They had a big dream. They were believing God. They were trusting God. They had a vision. They had a plan. But then when it didn't happen in their time frame or according to the way they thought, or it didn't come in the package they were looking for, they lowered their expectations. They reduced the size of their dream, and they settled for, well, I would really, really, really like to have that one, but I think the only thing I'm going to be able to get is that one. Good evening, Houston Faith Church. Look at the person next to you and say, I think he's talking about the guy behind us right now. Too many people go to church every Sunday morning and they've reduced their capacity based upon their circumstances, based upon the opinion of somebody else, based upon events that might have happened in their life. And God is still saying, I know the plan that I have for you. I know the plan that I have for you. I know the future that I've got for you. I know the dream that I've got for you. I know what I'm doing. I know what I have. I know what I plan. I've got plans to prosper you, to expand you, to increase you. And you and I have got to stop looking at the circumstances. We have got to stop looking at the circumstances. The circumference, the stances, those things that have taken a stand around our life and saying, you're not going to get out of this, you're not going to get through this, you're not going to get over this, and you've got to say, I'm sorry, devil, but not today, because my God is greater, my God is able, my God is bigger, and He's got a plan for my life. Glory to God. God has a future and a hope with your name written on it. Anyone ever hear of a singer named Kirk Franklin? I was listening to Kirk talking about how he was playing basketball. Now, if you know Kirk, Kirk's a little height challenged. We'll leave it at that, all right? He's not a Shaquille O'Neal, okay? And so he was talking about playing basketball. He was talking about how he was slam dunking the ball. And I'm thinking, listen, that's something that just doesn't go together in my mind. Kirk Franklin slam dunking, no, okay? And he's talking about he's doing it with his little boy and how his little boy was so impressed. Dad, you're such an awesome basketball player. Dad, you were slam dunking. It's so good. And he said, finally, I had to tell my son, you know what, son, before I started playing, I lowered the goal. I lowered the goal. And I was thinking about that, and I wonder tonight, have you lowered the goal? Have you let something or someone or an event or a happening, have you allowed that to lower the goal of your dream, of your vision, of the plan that you had for your life? Have you let situations and circumstances lower the goal? How many people have lowered the goal in their life? They had a dream. They had hope. They had a vision. But when it didn't happen in the time frame they were expecting, when circumstances changed, when a difficult problem came along, they lowered the goal. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Come on. I know there was times, Pastor Chaz, when this property owner said no, that you probably thought, well, what are we going to do? Well, maybe we got to go look for more. Maybe we got to go look somewhere else. Maybe we got to do this. Who knows what thoughts go through when somebody says no when you had a plan for yes. But if we don't grow weary in the midst of doing good, at the right season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen. Amen. Listen, I'm here to tell you, Houston Faith Church, there's a harvest with your name written on it. And the only way that harvest is not coming in is if you give up. Is if you give up. is if you lower the goal and if you say, I tried, I prayed, I believe, but it just hasn't come through yet. No, yet the time is not over. You hang in there and you stay faithful and you keep doing what you know to do, and God will bring it through in due season. See, we're setting in due season here tonight. We're looking at due season tonight. This stage, those screens, this sound system, the lights, the entry, the coffee shop, it's due season. Come on and give God a hand clap tonight. If you believe it's due season, give Him some praise tonight. Amen. I wonder sometimes, Pastor, has the church lowered the goal? I'm not talking about one church, I'm talking about the church. Has the church lowered the goal? Have we become so politically correct? We've been told we're non-essential. Come on, church. Have we lowered the goal? Has the church got so caught up in technology and lights and LED walls and rock concert worship services that we've forgotten the blood will never lose its power? Are you hearing me tonight? Have we forgotten they shall lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover? Have we forgotten greater things we shall do because Jesus went to the Father? Come on, somebody. Have we forgotten we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us and will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Houston, Dallas, Corpus Christi, Galveston, and the uttermost part of the world? Have we lowered the goal? Can I tell you something? This building is beautiful. But when you're hurting, you don't care about padded chairs, really cool lights, great sound system. You just want to know, can Jesus heal cancer? Can Jesus put back together a broken heart? Can Jesus turn my life around? Does God know how to deal with depression? Come on, somebody. See, this is all wonderful and great, but when it comes down to it, is God really God? Amen. And I'm glad I'm standing in a place tonight that knows He is God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same as He was when He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, when He led them across on dry ground, when He swallowed up Pharaoh's army behind them, when He shook the jail and Peter walked out of it. He is the same God tonight. He heals cancer. He heals heart disease. He heals diabetes. He heals coronavirus. In Jesus' name, let's give Him some praise tonight, church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I am so glad there's a place like we're sitting in tonight. I'm so glad we've got pastors like Pastor Chaz and Pastor Joni who haven't lowered the goal, but yet they're still slam dunking it tonight, and they're going to slam dunk it next week, and they're going to slam dunk it next month, and they're going to slam dunk it next year. Why? Because they know God can bring the dream to pass if we don't give up. God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to increase you. Plans to expand your life. to increase your capacity. To increase your capacity. The plan that God has for you. Last week, as I was in prayer for the service here tonight and this week for this wonderful church and the dedication and everything, and I remember I was just kind of meditating on the Lord, going through Scripture, just reading God's Word, and God reminded me of something in that time of prayer and preparation for this phenomenal historic occasion right now. And he reminded me of the story of Queen Esther. And he said, go back to the book of Esther. And I thought, why am I going to the book of Esther? You know? And so I went back to the book of Esther and I read the book of Esther again. And as I'm reading it, all of a sudden something just jumped off the page. Something just broke out inside of me. And I knew that he was telling me something for tonight, for this congregation. And if you don't know the story of Esther, go back and read the book of Esther. It's really a short read, 9 chapters, I think, total. But such a phenomenal story of God's provision and God's protection. And so if you look at that, here is this young lady named Esther, a young girl, both of her parents die. And she's an orphan, and her uncle takes her in, and her parents and this man Mordecai were cousins, and so he takes her in and he raises her like she's his own daughter. And she grows up to be a very beautiful young lady. And one day, following a major feast, the king called for Queen Vashti to come and wear the royal crown and come to this party that the king was having, and she refused the king's orders. And so the king had her removed as queen, and he consults with his princesses, and the prince Memucan says, I think we ought to find another queen. And so a search went out. And they brought all these young, beautiful ladies together, and Esther happened to be one that was chosen for this court. And from this court of young ladies, the king would choose a new queen. And you probably know the story. He winds up choosing Esther. And Esther becomes the queen. And what the king did not know, nor did anyone else in the royal palace, was that Esther was a Jew. But now she is Queen Esther. And so one of the king's princes, finds favor with the king. The king puts him over all of the princes. And this man Haman, which many believe is the same man as Memucan in chapter 1 that told the king to get rid of Vashti. Now his name is Haman. He is in charge, and one day Mordecai will not bow down to him, and he gets mad at the Jews, and he hates them, and he wants to annihilate them all. And he formulates this plan, and he shares it with the king, and he gets the king to agree with him, and a decree goes out: on this day, every Jew is to be killed. We're going to annihilate every one of them. And then one day he sees Mordecai again, and Mordecai will not bow down to him, and now he is so upset, he has a 50-foot-tall gallows built in front of his house for Mordecai, and he's going to have him hung on the gallows in front of his house. You see, the plan the enemy has, it may seem bad. It may seem horrific. But God says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of a future and a hope to prosper you and expand you and increase you. And so you know the story. Mordecai sends word to Esther telling her about Haman's plans to annihilate all of the Jews. says you have to go to the king. You have to plead with the king on behalf of your people. And of course, Esther's not sure about this, because if she goes in before the king without an invite, she could be killed. And all of the things that were going through this young lady's mind. And we come to Esther chapter 4, and here's what Mordecai says to her is verse number 14. These words that some 2,500 years later are still so famous and so important. He says, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. In other words, God's going to take care of business. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I want you to look at that. Highlight it. Underline it. Make note of it. Have you come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I mean, this is such a powerful story. The gallows that had been built, all of a sudden, God gives Mordecai favor with the king. Suddenly, the plans begin to shift. Haman sees everything falling apart right in front of him, and he realizes, this man that I thought was my friend, my confidant, I thought this man was on my side, I realize now he is evil, and he had Haman hung on his own gallows and then gave Haman's house to Esther, and Mordecai took care of it. And not one Jew was killed. But the plans that were devised were turned around on the adversary. Have you come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You say, okay, how does that all fit in with increasing my capacity? I'm glad you asked. You see, this is a historic time in the life of this church. This is a historic time in your pastors. But it's also a historic time for every one of you sitting in these chairs tonight. And that's what I want you to understand, is that this is a phenomenal time and a phenomenal intersection in your life tonight, what God is about to do in this place and in the lives of those who recognize, I am here for such a time as this. Are you hearing me tonight, church? See, every person that claims Houston Faith Church as their home church, whether you're here tonight, whether you're watching online, however you may be hearing this message, this is a historic time for you. Listen to me. It's not time to lower the goal. It's not time to say, hey, look what we've done. It's not time to sit down, take a big sigh of relief and say, oh, praise God, finally we're in this building. No. It is not time to lower the goal. It's not time to step back. It's not time to say, oh, well, finally we're in this building. Listen, your life has been radically saved. Your life has been radically changed by the power of God. You're no longer what you used to be, thank God, but you're also not what you're going to be. Amen? And I believe that God is saying, listen, over the last 2 months, we've gone through some uncharted territory. We've experienced things we never dreamed we would experience in our lifetime. We never thought we would see things that have happened over the last 2 months. And listen, there's a whole lot of people living in Houston, Texas, that they've got fear, anxiety, uncertainty in their life, and they need somebody like Houston Faith Church that will say, my God is bigger than that fear. My God is bigger than that anxiety. My God is bigger than that uncertainty. And my God is able to heal your body, touch your mind, touch your business, touch your kids. My God is able to do anything that we can think or ask. Can you say amen? Amen. See, it is not time to sit down and simply say, look what we've done. It is time to rise up and say, now the real work begins. Now the real job is in front of us, because we have been placed here for such a time as this. Hallelujah. We're not going to go, I'll take the little one. No, we're going to go, we got about 600 seats. We got to fill them up, and we got to fill them up multiple times on every weekend. Come on, is somebody listening to me tonight? We got to fill this building up with kids. We got to fill this building up with youth. We got to fill this building up with families. We got to fill this place up for the glory of God, because they need to hear that God loves them. God has a plan for their life, and He wants to bring increase into their life. Can you say amen? Amen. We want others to experience the good news. Now listen, I saw the goal on the website, 2020, 3,000 decisions for Christ. I saw the stats on the website, 260 as of April the 8th. That ought to be 750. You know what it tells me? It's just time to lace up our shoes and get with it, because God's got a lot of stuff for us to do and a whole lot of people for us to reach. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? See, because there's hundreds of people you're going to come in contact with, especially over the next 30 to 60 to 90 days that are going to have questions about what's just happened. What did we go through? What's going to happen in the future? What are we going to do? What about this? What about that? What about something else? And you've got the hope that is within you. You've got the joy. You've got the peace. You've got the power. You've got the answer. And you know that answer is Jesus Christ. And you can let them know, listen, it doesn't matter what we go through next month, 6 months from now, but I want you to know God is able to take you through. And when they see that within you, they'll go, wow, I don't know what it is, but I want what you got. And you can go, great, come with me to my church. You can have what I've got. Amen. Amen. Why? Because you are here for such a time as this. Amen. There's not one sitting in here tonight that you're just here to take up that space. That 2-foot by 2-foot space. No. You are here to increase the capacity. The capacity of the kingdom. The capacity of your church. And the capacity of your life. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. I want you to just simply think about, if all of us, if this was just what we had to work with, and we went out of these doors, and over the next 30 days, we told one person, and we brought them back with us. 30 days from now, we'd be twice this size. And if we took that group with us and we went out those doors, and in the next 30 days we told one person and we brought them in with us, in 60 days we'd be four times this size. And if we took all of us and those that we had brought in and we said, hey, we're going to do it again, and we went out those doors and we just reached one person over the next 30 days, then 90 days from now, we'd have to have two services to handle all of the people with every chair full. And all you did was reach three. For such a time. Man, I hope you can see what is in front of you. I hope you can see how God has graced you. I hope you can see tonight that we have such a phenomenal opportunity, and God wants to use us, the family at Houston Faith Center, to impact this community and impact this neighborhood and impact this city and impact this region with the message of faith and hope in Jesus Christ, that we're not going to lower our goals. We're not going to shrink our dream. We're not going to go for the small one. We're going to go for the big one. And we're going to go, all right, God, here am I. Let's do it. Amen. Amen. Somebody you come in contact with in the grocery store, somebody that lives in your neighborhood, somebody you see at the hair salon or the nail salon, whenever they might open back up. I have determined, ladies, hair salons and nail salons are essential businesses. Somebody ought to say amen to that. But you're going to come in contact with people over the next 60 to 90 days that they've got questions, and they've got fears, and they've got anxiety, and they've got questions about the future. Listen, and you've got the hope right inside of here. And we are here for such a time as this. Think about a year from now, and we all look back, and you see hundreds that have come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that have been saved, delivered, healed, set free, lives have been restored, homes have been restored, marriages have been restored, kids have come back home, and you sit here and you look at this place full and full multiple times. Amen. And you go, thank God I didn't settle for the small cup. I went for the big cup. I allowed God to increase my capacity, to increase my vision for my community, my vision for my church, my vision for my world. And together, we have done this for the kingdom of God. Think about the reward we're going to have when we get to heaven. Glory to God. And we walk through those pearly gates and down those streets of gold, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, do you remember me? We met in the grocery store, and you invited me to Houston Faith Church, and I accepted Jesus and got my life turned around, and He healed my body, and I brought my whole family in, and we're in heaven because of you. Thank you. Let me tell you something. That's better than somebody handing you the keys to a new Mercedes-Benz. Come on. There is nothing any better than that right there. Is that you realize tonight you are here for such a time as this. It's not time to lower our goals. It's not time to sit back and relax. Now it's time to really get busy and say, okay, God, let's do it. Let's reach this community. Let's reach this city. Let's reach those people that live around me. Let's reach them for the glory of God and make a difference in their life so that they too can increase their capacity. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up with me tonight, would you? All over this building. Stand to your feet with me. Glory to God. I want to pray for you tonight for two things. Number one is that I want to pray that God would increase the capacity in your life, in every area of your life, physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally, relationship, every area of your life, that He would increase the capacity in your life, on your job, in your business, your career, everything. But then number two, I want to pray that God would increase your capacity to love the unlovable, to reach the unreachable, to touch the hurting and the lost, to go out of those doors on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, say, God, lead me across the path of those that You want me to speak into their lives. Well, I don't know how to say anything. Hey, listen, the only thing you got to know how to say is tell them what God's done in your life. That's it. You don't have to preach. You don't need a scripture verse. You don't need to be able to quote Romans 10, 9, and 10 or anything else. All you got to do is let them see the difference in your life, and they'll want what you've got. Amen? So I want to pray for you tonight, and I want to believe God for increase in your life, in every area of your life. And then I want to believe God for increase in the plan and the purposes of God for you in this house. And the part, the place that God has for you in this house, and the difference that He wants you to make in and through this house and into this community. Amen? That 1 year from now, this place will not look the same. Are you believing that with me? Come on. How many of you say, hey, I don't want this place to look the same a year from now? Amen? Hey, now, but first, let me tell you a little something. The carpet's going to get dirty. That's okay. The chairs may get stained a little bit. That's okay. Paint may get knocked off the wall a little bit. That's okay. You see, a hospital may not always be the best looking place in town, but it's getting people healed. Amen. We can clean carpet. We can clean chairs. We can repaint walls. Hey, we want it to look the best it can look. We don't want you dirtying it up. But I'm telling you, hey, the more traffic you bring through, the more wear and tear it's going to get. And that's okay. Because we didn't build a museum. We built a hospital. Because there's sick and hurting people in Houston that Houston Faith Church is going to reach. For the glory of God. Amen. And every one of you are going to have a reward. Woo, just think about it. Walking down those streets of gold. Hey, Bill, remember me? Huh? Hey, Peggy, remember me? Thank you for inviting me. My life was never the same. Amen? Would you lift your hands up tonight? Come on. Thank you, Father. Holy Ghost, we thank you. We thank you for the power. The power to be effective witnesses. The power to make a difference. The power to touch lives. Father, I pray for every individual in this building tonight. Father, I pray first that you bring increase into their life in every area of their life. God, that you increase their time. You increase their serving. You increase their capacity, you increase everything that pertains to them, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, every area of their life. God, I pray for increase. God, the plans you have to prosper, expand, and increase their lives. And God, tonight, I pray for increase as they go out of this building and they share the good news with those they come in contact with, people they bump into, with those at the supermarket, the gas station, Father, at the mall, at the restaurant. And as they share what you've done in their life, the good news, God, that those will come in even by the hundreds. And God, we won't just see 3,000 this year, but we'll go beyond the 3,000 for your glory and your kingdom, Father. Increase in your kingdom and increase at Houston Faith Church in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for increase. I believe each one is here for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. But God, more importantly, we look forward to what you're going to do. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for the total debt being paid off. This building being debt-free. Building and property being debt-free. Thank you, Father, for every seat filled with hungry hearts whose lives are being changed and molded and shaped by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for families coming in and being added to the church every single week. Because we are here for such a time as this. God, we believe you for supernatural increase in our lives and in our church, all for the glory of God. Thank you, Father. We decree it, we declare it, we call it done tonight. God, you can count on us. Come on, say this with me. Lift your hand. Say, God, you can count on me. God, I know I am here. I am part of Houston Faith Church. If this is my home church, then I am here for such a time as this. I am here to make a difference. I am here to increase the capacity. I am here for such a time as this. All to your glory. Amen. Can we give him a big hand clap of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come on, we ought to be shouting louder than that. Come on. Glory to God. Come on. Hey, you ought to be acting like the Astros just get to hit a home run in the ninth inning and they didn't steal a sign to do it. Hallelujah! Come on! Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God that he's chosen you. Shout unto God that you're his kids. Shout unto God that he's got a plan for your life. He wants to prosper you and expand you, and increase this place, and increase the kingdom, and he's going to use you. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord God. Glory to God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.